This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a carnival ball, in a unique arts venue, or a Valentine's treat, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. New Orleans Airlift's fourth annual Mardi Gras Ball, Sirens of Salvage, kicks off the spring performance season in the Music Box Village. It all begins with Big Frida and Bounce in the contemporary Bywater Art Venue as musical and visual artists celebrate the carnival season. Airlift co-founders Jay Pennington and Delaney Martin are here with details. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, nothing screams New Orleans like a party, and you're kicking things off in a big way. What will we experience at your Mardi Gras Ball?
Well, of course, we're going to have our great friend and collaborator, Big Frida, back, and we're excited to celebrate with her. She always puts on an amazing show. As most New Orleanians know, and it just doesn't get old, we love Frida. But we're really excited this year to bring her into collaboration with some new talent. So we are working with this group called The Embassy and the Material Institute. It's kind of both housed in this interesting project in St. Rock. The Embassy is a recording studio project that has people audition for it, and they get to create a track with producers and get it mastered. And housed in that same building is the Material Institute, which is a fashion school. And it's really serving, you know, the St. Rock community, late teens, early 20s. And so we are going to have at our Sirens of Salvage Ball, we're going to have five sirens from their Embassy recording project, recent graduates of that. And the Material Institute is going to be dressing our sirens in reclaimed and found materials. And they are also making a cape for Big Frida, which is very exciting. So we're happy to see that collaboration all come about. DJ Chenua is going to be there, who always keeps things, you know, totally lit. And we're having a bunch of installations. We're really building on this, you know, of course, Music Box, everything there is kind of salvage already. But this year's theme is Sirens of Salvage, and it applies, of course, to the whole Music Box Village, but also to an upcoming project that we're excited to honor. We're going to be working with Lonnie Holly, who is an incredible found object sculptor and a musician, and he's going to be building a new musical house with us that we're going to debut in the fall. And as part of that project, we are asking people to come to the ball, not only to wear masks, but to maybe bring a treasured item. Could be some found object that you've held on to, could be something from your personal altar, could be something that you just want to see incorporated into Lonnie Holly's work. There's a lot of messaging going on with this ball, but mostly it's just going to be a really good time.
Now, the Music Box Village is Airlift's flagship project. Tell us about this one-of-a-kind venue.
We started the idea and concept of musical architecture 10 years ago, the goal being to repurpose an old house that belonged to me to create something magical from something that was sort of falling down. I think a lot of New Orleans is full of blighted houses and falling down architecture. We decided to take the pieces of a house that was falling apart and turn it into a village of musical structures. And the idea behind those being that New Orleans is naturally musical. Music is all around us. We experience it constantly. We experience it in and outside of our homes. And we wanted to create a place that honored that in the form of newly invented musical instruments. So these are creations made by New Orleans and non-New Orleans artists working in concert to really illustrate for all of us the way that our houses and neighborhoods are naturally musical places.
Now, how does the season continue after the ball?
We're really excited to work with Quintron again, who is the original conductor in the Music Box Village project. If you don't know what he does, he's a musician, but also an inventor, and he builds instruments that use the weather, that use natural environments to create synthesized sound. So he created an instrument called the Weather Warlock, which uses rain and sun and wind to generate a musical drone that you can listen to online at weatherfortheblind.org. You can hear literally the sounds of New Orleans weather as interpreted through a synthesizer. It's really exciting. He also created another instrument that plays the sound of plants and organic materials dying. So, you know, he puts electrodes on a plant and you literally hear it. It's sort of like death rattle. It's a very strange set of instruments that he's built. And we're bringing an artist from Japan named Min Tanaka. He's a world famous dancer. He sort of originated this concept of Butoh dance and dancing within the elements, which is his practice. So he's going to dance to the weather and dance to the sounds of the plants as generated by Quintron's instruments. It's really a once-in-a-lifetime, super exciting thing, and we just got lucky. Ann Burr, who runs a prestigious dance school here in New Orleans, was kind enough to help us bring men over from Japan, which is a feat like no other for us. We're really excited.
That sounds way cool.
It's going to be extremely exciting. We're really thrilled.
You have quite a few surprises this season. What else follows?
We're consolidating most of our program this season into Jazz Fest. And so kicking off Jazz Fest right at the beginning, we start with Les Filles de l'Illigadad, which is a group of Tuareg women musicians. They play electric guitars and they sing in Tuareg language. It's unique in that there are very few, if not maybe two or three women who make this music in the Saharan region of Africa. It's extremely unique, and we're lucky to have them come and perform. Right after that, the 79ers gang is performing. This is the first weekend of Jazz Fest. That's two New Orleans Mardi Gras Indian tribes, the 7th Ward Creole Hunters and the 9th Ward Hunters, who have come together to create a record together. Instead of battling all the time, which is what we expect from Mardi Gras Indians, they're unifying to create new sounds, and they're working with producers who have created albums for Arcade Fire and others to sort of modernize this Mardi Gras Indian experience and then bring it into the Music Box Village. After that, we're having Tiff Lamson from The Givers come back and do a one-time performance of what we call the Twilight Serenade, which is a large group of New Orleans composers performing each other's work and sharing creativity together. And then our final two shows during the second weekend of Jazz Fest are Ghost Note, who came last year. They're, I would say, funk, soul, neo-soul, R&B, powerhouse. All the musicians in that band have played with Prince and have played with all these other famous musicians in the past, sort of a super group. And this is their second time performing with us. And right after that is a very strange and wonderful musician named Orville Peck, who is, I would call him neo-country, for lack of a better term. He's known most for his masked visage. Like, he wears a sort of Lone Ranger kind of mask with tassels that hang from it, and so you can't see his face. Nobody knows who this person is. And he's been doing a lot of shows and growing in popularity incredibly recently. That show's already sold out, which is exciting. Wow. We weren't expecting that, but he's really, really kind of like captured people's imagination right now, and that'll be our last show of Jazz Fest.
In addition to all of that, our final show of the season is going to feature Taylor Lee Shepherd. Now, Taylor is one of the founders of the Music Box. In fact, he's the kind of founding sound artist, mechanical artist of the Music Box. And he continues to keep our project working and alive. So he's out there every day in the Music Box site, kind of maintaining, improving the sort of beta experiments that all these artists have kind of given us to maintain as part of our sculpture garden. And so we're excited to do a show with Taylor. He actually did his first show last season. He's going to do a one-man show. And what he's done to the village of late is install looper pedals through all of the houses. So they're all interconnected. So you can start in one house, get a beat going, move to another house, build on that. And so musicians who've come into the space have loved that we've added these looper pedals, but Taylor has really perfected the art of the one-man band. So it's a great way to come and see, you know, from a founder's point of view, what the promise and potential of the Music Box can really be. You know, of course, it's great to have artists in our space in whatever way they want to use it, but, you know, it's always a delight for us when artists really engage with the songs and the sounds of our houses. So if you want to see it done from a founder, from someone who started this very project up, come and see Taylor close out our season with his one-man show.
And after that, it's on to more engagements with the public through the musical houses that you can come play, that people really can come and enjoy for themselves.
That's an incredible lineup of entertainers.
It's really a busy season, but we're doing our best as we go forward to also expand the Airlifts programming outside of the Music Box Village. And we have a few really big surprises that will unfold over the year that, unfortunately, I can't talk about. I would love to, but I can't.
So what is the best way to enjoy this unique music musical experience?
The best way is to come and see us. We're going to be open from now until probably mid-June or late June. Every weekend, come by, hang out. If we have a show, we may be a little bit, you know, busy or closed down for a day or two here and there. But really, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're always around.
And how will folks find this hidden treasure?
It is a discovery. It's an interesting journey down to the lower Ninth Ward, almost to the lower Ninth Ward, I should say, down at the end of the Bywater. We're right on the Industrial Canal. So if you're heading down St. Claude and you're heading towards the lower Nine, we're the last thing on the right before you cross the canal. We're tucked away in a little industrial area, forested little landscape down there, and we're really lucky to have it. It's the perfect blend of residence and industrial that really suits our project really well.
Yeah. And the physical address is?
The physical address is 4557 North Rampart Street.
This sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Indeed, yeah.
Airlift co-founders Jay Pennington and Delaney Martin, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Appreciate it.
Big Frida headlines Sirens of Salvage, New Orleans Airlift's fourth annual Mardi Gras Ball. Thursday, February 13th at the Music Box Village, 4557 North Rampart Street. More info about Airlift's spring performance season is online at musicboxvillage.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. A special Valentine's Day engagement returns a society columnist and a veteran newsman to the stage. Nell Nolan and Dennis Woltering will star in A.R. Gurney's Love Letters. The one-night-only performance is being presented by Loyola's Theater Arts and Dance Department. It is my pleasure to welcome Dennis Woltering to Inside the Arts.
So good to be here. So good to see you, Diane.
It's been a long time since our paths have crossed, and you're wearing a new hat, so to speak, in your semi-retirement. What draws you to the stage?
Well, Nell Nolan asked me if I would do this with her, and it was about 10 or 12 years ago, and we've done it every year since. Nell has been doing this for 30 years, this particular performance. And it's two people sitting at tables reading letters, basically. But the story is so compelling, it's emotional. It's funny, it's sad, and in the end, I think there's a surprise twist that makes it very emotional.
You are in good company with this work that has been performed by the likes of Kathleen Turner, John Rubinstein, Elizabeth Taylor, James Earl Jones, Lynn Redgrave, and John Clark, just to name a few. What will you and Nell bring to it?
First of all, Nell is phenomenal. She is an actor. She's done a lot of performances on stage. And the thing about Nell that is funny, I think you might think of Nell as being sort of very aristocratic, very straight and
yes.
Formal. But in this story, she plays a wild child. It's a free spirit.
I can't imagine that.
Yes. And, you know, my role as Andy, she is Melissa. I'm Andy Makepeace Ladd III. And I am sort of full of myself, kind of pompous, and I'm a very straight-laced, I've become a lawyer, and I write laws, I like to write letters, and I have a sense of duty to family, country, and myself in that order. Nell doesn't like to resist temptation. She embraces temptation almost. And so hearing some of the lines coming out of Nell's mouth just makes it funny because of who she is saying it.
Now, this is not your normal dramatic setting. There are not a lot of actors. It's the letters that drive this play. What's the storyline, and what will we experience?
The storyline is this couple, they meet, first of all, in second grade in 1937. It goes on for almost 50 years, this relationship through letters. They are attracted to each other. They're sort of infatuated with each other at times. But they never quite get together. And she, as I say, is a free spirit. She gets married when he's away in the military. He comes back eventually, and then he marries. She has a series of marriages and eventually becomes estranged from her children. But through all of this, they're writing letters, they're staying in touch, and they're confiding in each other. They care about each other. I think the story is compelling because at the end you see how they really have a sincere and deep love for each other.
Dennis, can you share a letter or two with us?
Yes. In fact, I have Patricia Burette here with me from Loyola. You sort of need to get a sense of the relationship. So Patricia's going to play the Melissa role, and I'm going to play the Andy role. And why don't we start on page, which one, which one are we going to do? Page 10, I think, huh? Andrew M. Ladd III accepts with pleasure the kind invitation of Mrs. R. Ferguson Brown for a dinner in honor of her granddaughter, Melissa Gardner, before the Children's Charity Ball.
I'm writing this letter because I'm scared if I called you up, I'd start crying right on the telephone. I'm really mad at you, Andy. Don't you know that when you're invited to a dinner before a dance, you're supposed to dance with the person giving it at least twice? And I don't mean my grandmother either. That's why they give dinner parties, so people get danced with. I noticed you dance with Ginny Waters, but you never dance with me once. I just think it's rude, that's all. Straighten up and fly right, Andy. How do you expect to get anywhere in life if you're rude to women? Nuts to you, Andy, and that goes double on Sunday.
I didn't dance with you because I've got a stretched groin. If you don't know what that means, look it up sometime. I was going to tell you in person, but I got embarrassed. I stretched it playing hockey last week. The only reason I danced with Ginny Waters is she takes tiny steps, but you always make me do these big spins, and we could have gotten into serious trouble. I tried it out at home with my mother first, and it hurt like hell. That's why I didn't dance with you. I'm using a heating pad now, and maybe we can dance next week at the junior assemblies.
I don't believe that hockey stuff. I think Ginny Waters stretched her groin. And next time you cut in, I'm going to stretch the other one.
Huh? You obviously don't know what a groin is.
You obviously don't know what a joke is.
That's sort of the sense of the relationship.
Yeah. What can you tell me about the playwright, A.R. Gurney?
Well, this was a finalist for a Pulitzer Prize, this particular story. Apparently he had he wrote a lot of the stories about psychological issues involving families and always involving some element of alcohol. Apparently there's some of that in his family. The two people in this story come from well-to-do families. Melissa is wealthier. She comes from a wealthier family. But apparently he came from a well-to-do family also. So I think he draws from his own life in telling this story.
Now, is the art of writing letters, love letters, a thing of the past in this age of technology?
Well, I don't think it's a thing of the past. We write in a different way. We write, you know, messages on a computer now, emails and things like that. So I think love letters can still stand. It may not be on paper anymore, but yeah. I think it still happens.
Yeah. What are you hoping to rekindle among theatergoers with this performance?
Well, I hope they like the performance. I hope they love it. And that it maybe it'll get them to write love letters to someone they love, that kind of thing. We're doing this in support of Loyola's Department of Theater Arts and Dance also, and I hope it helps that department as they grow and do great new things.
Dennis, it's been great chatting with you. And you too, Patricia. It was very nice to meet you.
Thank you for having me.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you so much for having us.
Birds do it, bees do it, even educated fleas do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. In sets do it, Lithuanians, and let's do it, let's do it, let's fall in love.
Nell Nolan and Dennis Woltering return to the stage for a special Valentine's Day presentation of A.R. Gurney's Love Letters. The one-night-only performance will take place on Valentine's Day, Friday, February 14th, in the Lower Depths Theater at Loyola University, 6363 St. Charles Avenue. More info is online at cmm.loyno.edu.
Do it. People say in Boston even beans do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. Romantic sponges, they say, do it. Oysters down in Oyster Bay. Lazy jellyfish, do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. Electric eels, I might add, do it. Though it shocks him, I know. Shad and row in shallow shows, English souls, do it. Goldfish in the privacy of bowls, do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. That's
our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Helles Foundation. Additional support comes from Le Petit Theatre. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.